Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Well, good evening and happy Halloween. Welcome to Live with Breaking the Silence. Here we are in Houston, Texas, the most beautiful city in the world. And looking outside of my home here, right across the way is where I work at the Baylor College of Medicine, Texas Children's Hospital, right a block away here. And I have my Astros jersey on, trying to give a little bit of momentum to the Astros that are literally on their last leg. If they don't win tonight, the World Series is over and the Braves win. But we're going to trust and have the faith in them that they can at least bring it back into town. So a couple blocks away, they can actually win the World Series Wednesday night here in Houston. That would be awesome. But they got to win tonight to be able to do that. Tell you what, it's just been great to have you with us tonight. And we just want you to, this is one of those programs that you're going to want to get on the phone, text somebody right now, and say, hey, you're going to want to watch tonight because it's going to be different than probably any other program we've ever done. And the wonderful thing about doing this show for a couple of years is that we have the ability to bring on some, and we just had on not too long ago, one of the world's leading experts in mental health and child abuse world, Dr. Bruce Perry. He was on the program. We talked. Him and Oprah just wrote a book and all this, and they're the number one bestseller and all of that around the country, around the world. And it's great to have those folks on. But I want to tell you what, week after week after week, that to me would become redundant. We don't want to just talk to experts. We want to talk to people that are experiencing things in their life that you can be able to relate to and go, wait, I've been there or I am there. I'm experiencing exactly what they're going through. And how did they make it? How are they still hanging on? What can I learn from their story? And the whole purpose of the titling our program, Breaking the Silence, is so that we can all get together and I can bring people on that I've met. And it's amazing how I meet people. And this one was just simply a phone call, and I answered one day, hello? And our guest was on the line, and we talked. And then he wrote me an email, and the email was an unbelievable email, and I have it right here. And it's just long, and he tells me his story. And I immediately, after hearing it, rawness, realness, depth, he bled on the email page, and he bled when he was telling me the story. And he's still working through the process. And I want to let you know that this is going to be one of those shows that you will not forget, but also one that you're going to be able to pull some gold nuggets out of and apply them to people in your life, if not your own. So make sure tonight, if you want to watch the game, just put it up, but put it on mute on the TV so you can kind of eyeball it. But you want to lean into the program tonight and try to get some truth out of this, that this is real life. This is real experience. This is real pain. And this is what happens to people when they have been abused as a child and the effects that that can have on people like me and people like our guests tonight that will affect them years and years and years later. And we're going to get to the very depth of that tonight. A couple things I just want to share with you. I always like to start off the program with just a couple tidbits of how to get through the following week in a little better way. A couple ways this week that I want you to just kind of jot these down if you want to. Ways to become the person that you love this week, because I know, and maybe our guest is the same way, that when I look in the mirror, I don't love that person. It's so hard for me to look at the mirror and think that person is something of value. But I want to let you know that there is there. And there's just a few tidbits here. Number one, I want you to try this week is stop judging yourself and appreciate who you are within you. And I think when it comes to being compassionate and non-judgmental, the challenge greater than learning to walk a mile in somebody else's shoes is learning to be in a lifetime comfortable in the shoes that you're in, of living with the life that you have been handed. And I think only when we can grasp a hold of the concept, this isn't what life has done to me, it's what life has done for me. And if we can grab that for and apply it to be able to help other people, your life will change and you'll be able to make a powerful life impact on other people. Treat yourself the way that you want other people to treat you. So if you want other people to treat you kindly, maybe you ought to treat them kindly. If you want people to accept you, maybe you need to accept yourself. Care less about who you are to other people, but care more about who you are to yourself. I think that is the key. I work so hard to make sure that everybody in the world loves me, when sometimes I need to take an extra effort to love myself. And that is so hard sometimes. And I'm being real with you tonight. It's really hard. I need to also know my worth. Everybody that's listening to the program tonight, around the world, literally, you are valuable. You are a masterpiece, and you deserve to be loved. And you need to know your worth and never forget that. A couple more real quick, because I want to get to the guest tonight. Forgive yourself and other people. You're going to hear a story tonight that almost demands forgiveness, but from several different types of people. The abuser, even though it's so hard to forgive the abuser, the people that you're affiliated with that affected your relationship with the way you treat them, and maybe the way they handled that, whether they were loved or felt loved or not. And forgiveness is the key to be able to start building a road that we can travel down together and get someplace in a secured manner. And the last thing is focus on the positive. This whole world is filled with negative junk. Turn some of that negative stuff off and start focusing on the positive. And if you have to put little sticky notes on the mirror in your bathroom, on the refrigerator door, on your computer screen at work or wherever, take time to focus on positive things. Okay? That's just a few things that maybe can help you out going into this coming week. Tonight, we have a guest with us and his wife, Chris and Kelly Jones, and they are from Kentucky. Wonderful state of Kentucky, and they're going to share with us their story. And I met Chris, and we're going to talk about that here shortly. So I'm just going to bring Chris and Kelly on. So welcome to the program, Chris and Kelly. Can you hear me tonight?
Can. Thank you.
Hey, fantastic. Hope everybody can see them. We are live on Facebook. If you want to get involved in the show tonight, they've agreed that they'll take phone calls, 888-627-6008. You can call in or you can give right now on Facebook, because I'm watching it right here on the side screen. My son in Seattle, Washington, is looking at it and keeping up with that. If you want to comment on there or have a question on there and you don't want to call in to a live radio, you know, it makes you nervous. Speaking of nervous, you doing all right, Chris?
So far.
Okay. Here's what we need to do. Chris and Kelly, take a deep breath, okay? What you're about to do is to impact a lot of people with your own story. with your own experience. But first of all, I just kind of want to casually work into this, and then we'll start peeling back the layers instead of jumping in. There's two different ways to get into a cold creek. Okay, you can tiptoe or you can just dive in. We're going to kind of tiptoe in, and then we're going to go to the deep part of that creek, okay? So, Chris, Kelly, let's start with you, Kelly. I'll be a gentleman tonight and let ladies go first. Tell me about you, Kelly. What do you do in Kentucky?
I work at a pharmacy.
Oh, okay. So you're a pharmacy technician?
No, I'm just a store manager.
Store manager in a pharmacy. Fantastic. Okay. And what part of Kentucky are you in, if you don't mind?
I'm in Paducah. Right
in
now.
Paducah. Okay. Yes. I'm very familiar with Paducah. I used to go to Paducah all the time when I lived in Southern Illinois, down there in Carbondale area. And so we were just a hop, skip, and jump from Paducah. Good eating in Paducah, Kentucky. Yeah. So there is good eating there. And Chris, tell me about what's going on with you and where you're at right now.
I am in Ohio, finishing up some business, and that will conclude on January 4th.
So in January, this business, per se, concludes, okay? And we're going to get Correct. You down to the business, okay?
Right. We'll get okay. you to the business.
Chris, how did you ever find out about me? What was you looking for? What was that scenario? Because I love how these, in my personal opinion, these divine connections happen at the right time in a person's life. And it can actually turn into something that is unbelievable if we'll just hang on to it and embrace it. So tell me, how did you come across? What was you looking for? How did it happen?
You know, to be real honest about it, I was just completely broken. I came to a point in my life where literally, if I could paint a picture of where I was, the shell of who I was literally got broken away from me and fell down, and there was nothing but my raw, what was left on the inside being cooked under the sun, basically. And I was reaching out, and my wife was like, "Well, start listening to podcasts." I listened to podcasts. So I went through a bunch and I didn't like what they were saying. They didn't match. They didn't mesh. They didn't understand. They weren't relatable. And then I came across the one randomly that you told your story in. And I listened to it and I basically cried the whole time because I know how that feels to count steps and to fold my laundry weird and to just all those things. I do that. I still do that. Some of that stuff. I don't count steps anymore, but I still do a lot of those things. Yeah. But that's how I found that particular podcast, and that's what led me to you.
Okay, so in this podcast, I believe it was called The Adult Chair, and we've had Michelle on our program early on. It was about a year and a half ago, and she's a great guest. And I think that interview on that podcast was a couple years old, from 2019, something like that. Yep. So in the archives, you dug deep to find that. And you literally just called me on the cell phone.
Well, I emailed you first, and you responded within about 10 minutes, and I was like, well, it'll be a lot easier if I just called him. So I called the number, and there you were.
Yeah, and we talked for probably a half hour, 45 minutes that first time.
Yeah, about 45 minutes.
Yeah, okay. And in that conversation, Chris, because we're eventually going to get this, so we might as well just kind of wade out into the water a little bit deeper. What happened in your life that caused the shell at this point of your life to be so fragile that it was just falling away and you were literally baking in the sun, as you said in your intro? What caused you to be so fragile on the inside?
It's a rough thing to really explain. In April, I started to see signs of myself progressively changing, and I didn't know what it was. I didn't have any idea. And eventually I got to a tipping point, and then my wife dropped some news on me, and I basically tipped the rest of the way over, and I realized that I had basically, you know, I wrecked myself into something for the last time, and I wasn't going to tolerate it anymore. And, but what led me up to where I was is a conglomeration of things, really. You know, I've wrecked my life for decades because of what has happened. And I was very, very self-destructive, and it caused me to go to prison a couple times. And, you know, I've ruined my marriage. I totally fucked that, excuse my language. I totally messed that up. And, you know, it came to a point where she said some things to me and I could not take them. I literally folded up in the on the ground and let out a wild animal squall. And it was like I wasn't even functioning as a normal human being for a few days after that, because it was like the straw that broke the camel's back, basically.
And in reality, if I'm a bed man, because we've talked for quite a while, that something happened to you years ago that already broke your back. You were just trying to cover up a shotgun wound with a Band-Aid and hoping it would stop the bleeding, when there's no way that can happen. It takes something more major to stop the pain and the hurt of what you had gone through, and pretending it wasn't hurting you. I've been there, done that. Causes relationships to be affected. True?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Did it cause these, and I'm not saying it's the cause of the prison stints that you've been in, but did it cause some of the reasoning for the behavior that caused that? Was it starting to snowball? I mean, when you really sit back now, looking at it from this side backwards, it's like, wow, if I would have got help back then, I may have not made some of those choices.
Oh, absolutely. It snowballed in my teenage years. It started to get bigger and heavier, and I started drinking and smoking pot and using drugs and using women. And essentially at 19, I wrecked a car, and the girlfriend that I was with at that time got killed in that car crash. And so I went to prison for quite a while. And I had to go to a very violent prison, because the fact that you kill someone, you get sent to prison. You don't get sent to a cupcake camp. And so I went in there, you know, and you know, it's wild, because the experiences that I had there molded me to the attitudes and behaviors that I carried for so long, you know. And even after I got out of prison, that snowball was still there. It was just waiting. You know what I mean? I would get out and I would be okay for a little while, and then I would have bouts with myself, and I would jump right back on the snowball, and down the hill we would go. And then, you know, at a certain point, her and I got into a car accident where I was drinking again. And as ridiculous as that sounds, and I went to prison again. And like I said, you know, I had a lot of chances to do right and do better. And I did, but I would always crumble. And it wasn't because I didn't have the best intentions. It wasn't because I don't have the capacity or the, you know, intelligence. It was because I hadn't dealt with the main thing that really chewed on me my whole life. And it's such a hard thing to talk about with someone, that
it is.
I never felt safe, even with my wife. And she's been with me, it'll be 10 years in February, and I don't know how she stayed. I really don't. I applaud her for that, because it's been awful for her, and I feel horrible for that. And that's why I am. It's a lot of the reason why I am where I am today, because I don't ever.
Go ahead. Because you don't want ever what?
I don't ever want her to see that person again, no matter what the cost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kelly, first of all, I want to applaud you for going through hell, because I know what I have put my relationships through before I got help. And so sticking there, sticking by, I applaud you. But from what you just heard, and we're going to take our first break and then really dig into this more. But from what you just heard Chris say, how's that make you feel, Kelly? What's the emotions that come up inside of you over the 10 years that you've had? Did you know anything about what he had gone through? And when did you first find out?
I knew. He divulged the issue immediately. And immediately, being the motherly type, I was just drawn to him, you know, to protect him and love him. And, you know, and that's how people like me end up in these situations. And, but he never talked about it again. And I watched him disassociate from me and push me away and never, never directly talked to me about any of the issues that were coming up in our own relationship. You know, I would always try to talk to him over the years to get him to get help. And it graduated over the years where I pushed a little bit more and pushed a little bit more. And I felt like as I did that, that's when the snowball effect would become worse. And as crazy as it is, it's like nobody wanted to deal with the snowball. You know what I mean? Like none of his family or anything. It's always like, oh, don't pick at that scab, you know? And I just thought it was crazy. I'm like, this is the problem. He's not dealing with it. And he's ruining his life, not to mention our marriage. And I just, you know, I don't know. Finally, after 10 years, I just thought, you know, you're not helping yourself. And I have to take care of me because that was the point where I was at in it. So how I did it, I don't know. I mean, I loved him and cared for him. And when somebody you love is hurting and you know they're not dealing with it, you just can't help yourself. You know, you want to fix it. You want to make it better, whatever you can do. And the thing of it is until that person sees it and really has a reason, you know what I mean? Until they get it in their head that they're going to change, that they're going to help themselves, you can't do it for them. So
you're right. You're right. And I tell you what, those people that tell you don't pick at the scab, let me tell you what I want to do with the both of you. And I hope you allow me to do that. With whatever time it takes. We don't want to pick at the scab anymore either. I want to rip the scab off. It's time to get rid of all that dead, crusty stuff and get down to where there's fresh healing. And the only way to do that is to take that, and it hurts. It hurts like the dickens to rip it off. But there's healing, and only then can true healing happen. And it's going to take that from you, Kelly, and it's going to take that from Chris. And on the other side of this first break, Chris, I really want to now tell the world what caused the wound to begin with and then how that progressed back and forth. And that's going to be tough. So think about this. Take a deep breath during the next minute and a half of a first commercial break. If you want to get involved, 888-627-6008. We'll let you jump right in and have a question or two. We're going to be talking to Chris and Kelly on the other side of this first break. So hang with us. We'll be right back. Finally coming very soon will be the release of my second book in the three-part trilogy, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. Now this book will be an in-depth look at the many different facets and emotions that a person goes through when they're experiencing anxiety and trauma in their life, and they're simply searching for hope. And an exciting addition to this book will be a companion journal guide that will come along with it. Also, there's going to be something that I'm very excited about, the youth version of this book called When Dark Clouds Come, The Roadmap to Hope. And it's going to be an excellent tool and guide for teenagers dealing with stress in their lives. So stay tuned for the release date coming very, very soon for these exciting new resources. Now back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams on the BBS Radio Network. Welcome back. We have Chris and Kelly Jones with us from Kentucky. And Chris, I believe, is up in Ohio finishing up a little bit of stint that's going to get you home back in January, right? And Chris, I think, wouldn't it be awesome in the next 2 or 3 months to try to work on this as hard as you can, that when you do get to go back home, hopefully you'll be a different version. A more complete version of what I know is inside of you. And I think you know it too. I think you've seen a little bit of light, right, in the middle of this darkness.
I definitely have. And, you know, I dug hard and dug deep to really expose that person and shed everything about myself that I ever thought that I was or ever pretended to be. And that's where I am now. And I think that I know that that's the only reason that my wife is still married to me and with me and by my side, because she sees that the efforts that I'm making and the things that I'm doing and the change that I'm going through, she sees that and she sees what it is. And she, you know, she taking a deep breath and thinking, you know, finally, Jesus, about time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Kelly, are you willing to give this one more good 100% shot?
I support him 100%. I mean, he's doing things now he's never done before. So,
you know, I really think there's a book in this man, and there's a book in you guys together. I think there's husbands and wives on both sides of this that need to understand the pain on both sides. And if you guys can really put your arms around this and embrace this and get it working together and all those pistons going at the same time and in the same mode, I think you can change a lot of people's lives, not only your own, but other people that needs hope, that they're sitting at home going, what am I going to do? I can't handle this anymore. I want to just run out. And you guys may be that answer. And I think there's some of that that could be in you. I really believe that. Chris, share with us what happened when you was a child. You can go into it as deep or as little as you want, but just the fact of saying what happened to the world is a huge first step to healing, and you're fixing to do that right now.
Yeah, well, you know, if you ask my wife, she'll tell you that I've never half-assed anything I've ever done. So I'm not gonna hold anything back. I'm just gonna explain exactly what happened and where I am today.
Okay.
But I was 8, and I stayed at a friend's house, and this friend had a father, and the friend's father came in, and we were asleep. He woke me up, and led me away out down the hallway. Through the kitchen, down the stairs to a room that he had in the basement. And he undressed me and started to have me fondle him. And he fondled me and he told me I was a good kid, and good kids didn't talk about things like this. And he got lotion and put it on my genitals, and he put it in my butt crack and played with me and had me play with him until he was hard. And then he started to finger me, and I knew it was wrong, but I thought I was a good kid. I wasn't supposed to say anything, and I was in a safe place. I was somewhere that I was supposed to be safe. So I just, you know, I went with whatever he was doing. And long story short, eventually he, you know, laid me down on the floor, and he forced himself inside of me. And I remember thinking when that happened, it hurt a lot. You know what I mean? But I remember thinking about other things. I remember looking up at the light, and I remember it was painted black, like somebody had sprayed it with a spray paint can. And I felt him, you know, kind of grasping at my body while he was thrusting himself into me over and over again. And I remember it hurt, and it just felt like I just felt really full. You know what I mean? You know, I'm sure you understand. But eventually I remember smelling the carpet because it smelled like an old wet dog. And I remember my face burning up against the carpet where I was scooting across the floor. And when he finished, I remember thinking the noises he made were awful strange. And I didn't understand what that was till later in life, obviously. But, you know, when he was done with me, he just kind of left. You know, I had to, you know, use my clothing that I had to wipe myself off. And I remember I laid there for a few minutes after he had left and just looked around the room. And I remember feeling the awfulest feeling, because I just felt so, I was so scared, and I didn't have any help. And I knew that what had happened was bad. And, you know, I remember feeling fluids leak out of me, and I didn't know what that was at the time. And but nonetheless, I got myself up and dressed, and you know, I went about my business as if everything was okay. And then there was a day, the following day, I was in my backyard at home and I couldn't hold my feces in because of the damage that had been done to me. And so I had definitely, I'm trying to use good words. I'm a cusser. I shit in the backyard. And I remember my dad, he saw that and he just went out of his mind and he beat me with a belt and all kind of shit. And, you know, I tried to tell them what had happened and they said I was lying and all kind of stuff and, you know, didn't really put any stock into it. But it's weird the things that you remember from those situations. You know, I remember the smell of the carpet and I remember the way it hurt when my face slid across it over and over again. And I remember not having control and I couldn't do anything. And I was quiet.
I think, what you remembered of when it was over, you sitting there alone and there was nobody to help you is something that if we get a chance to talk offline, I really want to dig into, because that's a moment sometimes that you probably go back to in your mind. I have nobody. I'm sitting there in darkness alone and I have nobody. When there's, because I would imagine, and I may be wrong, that there's days that you feel alone in a room full of people. And when that happens, that's usually what you're reverting back to. And we got to work on that. And first of all, I want to thank you for sharing that, because for male or female, that's hard. For a male, there's another layer of depth that it makes it so hard, because that's not an easy thing to do and to say. Chris, did this happen any other time or was that it?
There was another time, and he had a friend and they forced me to perform oral. And I remember you mentioned, and I don't know if it was the book or the thing, but the little creases right here.
Yeah.
And I have those. And I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah.
That was bad. That was a bad deal.
And I tell you, Chris, I don't care if it's one time, one attempt, or 4,000 times, the impact is the same. And so how did you move forward? Months, years after, did you totally disassociate that ever happened and you put it in the closet and turned the key and just pretended? How do you handle it?
In my mind, it never happened. It was not anything real. I just let it go away. And, you know, that was probably the worst thing I ever did, because I don't remember how, I guess it was 3 or 4 years ago, I finally was ready to tell my mom, you know, what had happened, and went to her house and I had been drinking, but it took me to be drinking to have the balls to go over there and tell her. And she threw me out of her house and wouldn't listen to me. And that was probably the most hurt I ever felt.
Parents. So you tried to tell somebody, and was that the first time that you tried to tell somebody?
Well, outside the fact when I tried to tell him when I was a kid.
Right.
But, you know, my he didn't want to hear that. And I didn't say anything else about it. So I waited until I was an adult before I ever tried to confront them and tell them about it again. And I went to my mom's, like I said, and she threw me out of her house.
How long ago was that? How old were you when you talked to your mom about it?
It was, 2017, Kelly?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's 15, 20 years later?
Oh, it was more than that. 30 years later.
30 years later. You finally tell somebody. And parents, if you're listening, when your kid comes to you and tells you something, never kick them out of the house and say they're lying. Listen to them. If anything, don't react, but listen to them. If there's something going through your mind, just take a deep breath and take it all in. But sometimes we burst out, say things, And then when it just adds what? Fuel to the pain, right? I mean, Chris was just being denied your mother's understanding. Didn't that just add more pain to it?
Well, yeah. I mean, of course it did, because, you know, you expect your mother to listen to what you're saying, but she was not hearing it. I mean, not even a little bit. And, you know, it really sucks. I feel bad. My mom's dead now, but, you know, I know that, you know, I don't know. I don't have any answer for her, but I really feel bad for that. And I wish it had gone different.
So when did you first tell Kelly?
Well, when I first got together with Kelly, I told her just a very small amount. I just told her that I had been molested as a kid, and I let it go at that. And I didn't think much else, you know, to say anything else about it, you know. And my life since then has been, you know, I've had the rage, I've had the violence, I went to prison, I was involved in, I stabbed a few people many times, you know, hurt people in bad ways, that just stuff you just don't even hear. You read about in books and you swear it can't be true. Yeah, I did that. I did 3 years in solitary confinement. I mean, if that's not enough to get a fucking check, I don't know what is, you know what I mean? Not that I want one, I'm just saying. I should be clinically insane at this point. You know, and then I continue to drink and do stupid jackass shit. And it wasn't because of any other reason, but I wouldn't deal with it. I wouldn't look it in the face. And it really took me getting hurt in a way that changed my perception on everything around me for me to really stop and say, all right, man, you got to look at this. Look what you have caused. Look what this has done. Look where you are. And I legitimately stopped and I melted away from myself. I don't know any other way to put it. I don't know. I can't really explain it. I don't know how I am the way I am now. I told myself that fucking guy had to die. Me, the person I was, he had to die. And I could never let that son of a bitch get up again.
And so at this point, you had to hit rock bottom before you can start building.
Oh, absolutely. The whole house got swept right off. There's nothing but a concrete slab. And, you know, I told her that's the exact reference I said. I said, look, we have a concrete slab. I said, let's rebuild this thing. Let's put everything back together. And, you know, I told her the other day, recently, I don't remember what day, but I told her that when I fell apart in little pieces, I picked up the pieces that I wanted to keep. And I left the rest of them laying there.
Yeah.
And I don't really know how any other way to explain it. I don't, you know.
Kelly, from your perspective, are you sitting back and going, honey, about time? I mean, is this what you really wanted to hear years ago?
Yeah, it's way overdue. So.
But you just couldn't force it. When you forced it, it caused.
No, there was no forcing him to do anything. It would just become worse. There was no forcing.
So you just stayed in there, hung in there, dug in deeper, and hope for the better.
I mean, yeah, because he still couldn't talk to me directly about things. Even after he tried to talk to his mother, he still couldn't talk to me about it.
Well, it was because I got rejected from my mother. Why would I pursue anything else? You know what I mean? And that's how I felt. I'm not saying it was right by any means. But, you know, once you do reach out to somebody that is supposed to be your comfort and safety and provider, and, you know, once they kick you out of their house, I mean, you're like, well, what's the point? You know what I mean? It wasn't that I was obviously.
It took me 25 years after I first tried to tell somebody, maybe 30. And it went the same way. It's like, I don't want to hear this stuff. And it's like, oh, my lands. Here I tried to, for the first time in my life, be vulnerable, and the door got shut.
Yeah, and that was a real disheartening thing.
Now, Kelly, before we take our last break, is the communication, have you noticed a difference in the communication in the last couple weeks? Have you noticed a difference in the man?
It's completely different.
The what do you only think that is?
Describe it is he did not communicate before. Not at all. Not even a little bit. I did all the communication, and when I would communicate, it was like I was talking to the wall. He would just shut down and not talk to me. And so for many years, I just quit talking. And I just let things be. And even when I did that, things would still spiral. And really until recently, when he started having, he basically started having a spiritual awakening. And when he first started talking about it, I started to believe. And then I was like, well, this is BS. He's just manipulating me to get me to believe that he's actually doing something different, because that's all he had left to do. However, I could tell a difference after I had completely shut him out, and he started talking to me on a level I didn't even think he was capable of.
Wow.
Yeah.
I tell you what, and beware, fasten your seatbelt. He may not stop talking for a long time now. And when that communication completely changes, it can be overwhelming. So don't just be ready to take it all in. And because I think once we get to that mode of, hey, it helps me to express it, sometimes we overexpress. So there's a happy medium there, but I find myself wanting to talk more, and sometimes I overdo it. When you say, hey, I caught what you're saying. So just be ready, because he may want to talk all night long, and you're just saying, honey, I got to sleep. I mean, but it's just good that he's communicating.
I have to tell him. Yeah, I have to have him, or, you know what I mean? And he'll say, well, do you not want me to talk to you about these things? Maybe that's better. And I said, no, it's not that. You know, I want to hear what you have to say. But, you know, I still have to stop and take care of me. So I just have to have those boundaries sometimes. Right.
And you're both going to need to create those boundaries for yourselves. Yeah. Hey, we're going to take our last commercial break, 888-627-6008. If you want to get involved, you can get right here on Facebook. Looks like we have a couple comments on there. My phone is going off the hook with text that I'll be answering after the show. But you're hitting a heartstring with a lot of people tonight. We're going to take our last commercial break. On the other side of this, Chris and Kelly, I want to kind of just find out, where do you go from here? What do you plan on doing when life lets you back into the same home? How are you going to deal with the good days and the bad days? And what's our goals and how we're going to move forward with this? And we're going to find out more about that on the other side of this last commercial break. Hang with us. We'll be right back.
HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers A Child Called It and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back to the last part of our show this evening, and we have Chris and Kelly Jones from Kentucky with this evening. And Chris literally ripped the scab off and told you exactly in the rawness. And I hope, Chris, that you have started to write those feelings down and on paper. And it sounds like you're catching the effect of what did you experience? What did you smell? What did you feel? What did, you know, what was the environment like and all of that? And be careful, because it will bring back memories that you thought maybe you had forgot about, and it'll bring back other things to mind. How do you have you ever experienced nightmares as of that event? I do, and I still, I only sleep an hour and a half, 2 hours a night now because of that. Has that affected you in the same way?
I definitely do have nightmares. It seems like I have them worse if I accidentally fall asleep during the day.
Really?
It's weird. But at night, whenever I try to go to bed, when I start to doze off, I'll see things, you know. It might not even be from that particular experience. It's just other, any traumatic thing that I can remember, or the new things, or, and it just haunts me, man. It still does all the time. And, you know, she gets aggravated with me, and I understand, because I text her all the time, and I'm like, just send me something, tell me something sweet. And I mean, help me settle. And, you know, probably 75% of the time she doesn't want to do it, but she does most of the time anyway. But I try to explain to her that it's not, if it was anything I could control, believe me, I would turn it off in a heartbeat. It's just, it's the most, I explained it. I wrote a journal entry, because I do write now, and it's because of you and her mostly. I'll give her most of the credit, because she's been on me for a while to do that. And I wrote a journal entry about how I physically felt. And I sent it to her. I typed it out and sent it to her. And when it gets this way for me, it's a never-ending fight. And it's literally like I'm drowning. And my foot's caught on something under the water. And my arms and legs don't work. And my chest feels like it's being smashed. Wow. And when I see this, I'm literally looking down in my mind's eye. I'm looking down at myself drowning. And I can't reach me to get me out. And I know that sometimes it would be easier to just let the air out and just breathe in the water and just give in and quit fighting, because the fight is the hard part. And then, you know, it's a really tough thing to send that to your wife, to tell her that that's how you feel. It's hard. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to get through it. And, you know, I have moments like that when I reach out to her, and it's the time I need her the most.
Yeah.
Because I'm almost crippled with it. You know, 35, 36 years later, and it's just really hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. And, you know, I spent all those years in prison, and I've done a lot of them. I don't think you realize it's almost 2 decades in prison I've been in there, and I fought a lot, and I don't really remember losing a whole lot of them. I mean, I have, but this is the hardest fight I've ever had. And
wow,
I won't lose this fucking fight, man. I'm not doing it. I can't. I have to. I'm committed. I broke. I told her the other day, and, you know, you mentioned the book thing, and she's told me for years that I should write a book with my life. And we are going to do that. And I do write things down like you told me to. And I'm going to get a new journal that's easier to write on, because the one I have is narrow. But I
told her, I got a whole bunch. I'll send you one.
All right. But I told her, I said, look, because, you know, she's skeptical, and it's okay. I understand. I don't have any reason to tell her she shouldn't be. Because I would be lying to both of us if I did. But I told her, I said, look, man, once you're broken, you never unbreak. And I have been broken. I'm broke from all this. I'm done. I'm so broken that there's nothing left to do but rebuild. There's nothing else to build on. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's broke. Everything's gone.
You know, but, you know, Chris, when you break an arm and it heals back, they tell me that bone is stronger than what it's ever been before it was broken to begin with. And I believe it can be that way in you. And I really think we got to deal with these issues, same issues that I deal with. How are you with insecurity?
I'm pretty insecure. But you know more of our story than I've said on here. So, there's insecurities, but, you know, I work through them.
Yeah. Yeah. So now we only got a few minutes, a couple minutes left. I knew this hour would fly by. What are you hoping a year from now, if we have an anniversary show of, hey, it's been a year ago since we've talked to Kelly and Chris. How y'all doing? Where do you want to be a year from now, Kelly, in your relationship and progress of dealing with this pain? Where would you like to be?
To see where things have gone at this point, that I never thought we would get to. I'm ready. I mean, I'm over ready. I mean, I want to see him be the person that I know he could be, you know, as a father, as a husband, you know, and as a friend to himself, you know, and to, I think it's a big deal because, you know, a lot of people lost hope and he has a lot of potential that he's just let wash away.
Yeah. We only have about a minute left. Chris, where do you want to be a year from now?
And pretty much lines up with what she said. I'm coming to a place in my life where I'm developing confidence again within myself. I'm developing self-esteem within myself. I'm, you know, my marriage is healing, thank God. And that's really important to me. And I know that might be secondary, but it is. And the peace that I have found within myself from accepting these things and actually dealing with them is something that I have to keep. And that's my number one goal. I have to make sure that I have that peace every day, that I have that peace. And, you know, ultimately, if I had it my way, and this is just me speaking, Chris had his druthers, I am starting school on January 10th to get my CDCA and my LCDCA. I already enrolled. I'm just waiting on the dates to line up. And I want to work to help other people that may have these problems and don't know how to talk to other people if they haven't been through it. Because I won't kick them out of my house. I won't tell them that they're full of shit because that's my friend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I know what it's like and I feel it and I understand it. That's why I reached out to you, because I knew by reading what or hearing what you spoke, you had been there, because you do the same. You had done the same things I had done. And it's not something you think about. You know, my wife to this day still will not fold my laundry. I do not let that happen.
I hear you. But tell you what, Chris and Kelly, thank you so much. We're out of time, but I just want to thank you so much for sharing, being here tonight. And I want to make a promise to you in front of everybody that anytime, and I want to spend some time with you each and then together. And I want to try to see what I can do to help and assist and be with you on the journey as long as you want me to be with you on the journey and get you through this to where a year from now we can be doing those same things of saying, look how far we've come and look at all the people that we're not, you know, that we're helping, not only ourselves, but other people as well. So I applaud you. Thank you so much for being on tonight.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Kelly. Appreciate you sharing tonight.
All right. You're welcome, brother. I'll get in touch with you.
Okay. We'll be in talk this coming week. We promise you. Tell you what, we always like to end the show every week the same way. And Chris mentioned it just a while ago, and so did Kelly, that sometimes it feels like there's times that there's no hope and it's just too far gone. But I want to let you know, and this is a perfect example of that. There's a moment in time. At the right moment, if you have the right mindset and allow yourself to observe what's going on, that you cross the moment of hope. And there's always hope. It's there for you. Reach deep. Hang in there. Don't give up. It's worth 100% of your time to search for it. I promise you that. Join us right here next week, live from Houston, Texas, for another edition of Breaking the Silence. And again, I applaud you, Chris, and I applaud you, Kelly. Thank you so much. And it's great to have new friends from Kentucky. God bless y'all. Have a great week. And we will talk to you next week. Good night.
All right, bro. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.